Hello, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful, the fastest episode ever.
Oh, you know why? Because we created life with arms around home.
People always say that they like the soft, you know, soothing tones of our early Henry episodes.
Oh, well, they're going to get... Well, this won't be quite as... Hi, this is a wonderful show. We talk about things we like. We're in a different house now, so we have a little bit more space between the studio and the room where the baby's.
Yeah, they used to share a wall, and now at least we don't have that circumstance.
Right, so it won't be quiet, but it will be fast. It'll be what we called in the theater community, rain pace. Because, yeah, that's where you would make a show go faster because it looked like it was going to rain. And so, like, sometimes you would just skip entire scenes if they seemed, you know, sort of unnecessary. Just because, like,
yeah,
if you can get through the first act and then it starts raining, you get to keep their money.
Oh,
I mean, that's how we did things at Huntington Outdoor Theater. It's anyway, we had a baby. Rachel had the baby.
Yeah.
But I helped.
So we thought we would talk about it. So if you are not somebody that is interested or, you know, is uncomfortable with hearing about birth of a child.
It's not going to get particularly anatomical.
Yeah, I'm not one to get graphic.
This is the soft relaunch, I would say, of Wonderful. Mm-hmm. We hope you enjoyed our hockey and old bad writing episodes. So they are fun to do our live show. And we would probably have skipped this week, but we wanted to also let you know that next week Max Fun Drive starts.
Yes.
And we're gonna have a lot of great stuff for you there, including a bonus episode that we haven't recorded. It's been a bit of a mess. Maybe let's start the conversation there. Our first child, Henry, is 4 years old now, which is bonkers, I think, by any measure. And he was a difficult newborn.
Yes.
Who turned into a really great toddler.
Yeah.
Who has been nothing but a joy. Any behavioral issues, I'd say, are easily quashed.
Yeah, he does not have a temper.
No.
He always ate very eagerly.
Yeah.
He just had various medical issues that made him a more challenging baby than he may have otherwise been.
Right. He was kind of tiny. He had low mm-hmm. muscle tone, which is basically a pretty broad diagnosis.
Yeah, it meant he was behind on all of his physical milestones.
He had no gains, and that made it harder for him to eat. Which...
And then, as you all know, because I've mentioned it before, he had a milk protein allergy, which meant that I couldn't eat dairy or soy if I was going to nurse him. And so that made a lot of other things challenging, too.
Yes, it meant that basically he would not sleep longer than, 45 minutes at a time? Which was terrible.
I remember asking our pediatrician if 20 minutes of sleep was restorative in any way, because that was about what he was getting.
Yeah. that was rough. I would say by about... Certainly by a year, it was easier. Certainly probably by about 6 months, he was doing a little bit better at night.
Yeah.
And it was sleep deprivation for us, and it was very bad.
Yeah.
And one of the darker periods of our life. And that's one of the things that they don't really tell you, especially before your first child, but you kind of know to expect it for the second, is like, it's okay if this isn't your favorite part of the process. Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't mine with Henry.
No, and I will also say that when our first child was born, Griffin and I were not talking to therapists or taking any kind of medication to support our mental health.
No.
We crashed pretty hard that first year.
It was fucking bad, man.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, like, I don't know, I feel like that's something I tell people now when they are expecting or trying to get pregnant or whatever. Like, it's okay if you don't have that, like, fairy tale newborn experience, because there's a very real chance that you will not. And that's okay. Like, it doesn't have to be this sad thing, right? It just means that there's different parts of the process that are going to be better for you than others.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in it, it feels like a very long time.
Yes.
But in the grand scheme of things, it is a small portion of their life.
Right.
My therapist referred to those like easy babies as accessory babies, and that you could just bring them anywhere and do anything with them, and they just complemented your lifestyle.
Sounds cool. Sounds so rad. Like a little Tamagotchi, and you just like press a button on them and they go back to sleep for fucking 18 more hours.
That was not our experience with Henry. And that is not our experience thus far.
So far, hasn't been an accessory. He's been an accessory to, I would say, fart crimes. Yeah. Gus has been. He's been the perpetrator of fart crimes. He's the gassiest boy. He is inflatable, this child, I would say.
Yeah. Griffin and I are problem solvers. We like to troubleshoot. We like to research.
Yes.
We've done a lot of research on gassy babies thus far.
Yeah.
Which for me as the mom often involves just kind of trying to point fingers at things I could be doing better.
Right.
Which is not great.
No. No, it ain't that. It's just it's babies are weird, man.
They're born too early.
They're born too early. Babies should be a year old when they're born.
I didn't want to carry him in my body longer because he was a very large baby. But they're born before their digestive system can do anything.
It's all of this is to say that things have been very tough, I would say, around here. Henry's been amazing. Like, he has been so, so good. Maybe a bit of reversion of him, like, acting like a baby a little bit more. But, like, he's been very sweet with Gus. Have we said the baby's name? Gus. His name is Gus.
Yeah, it's August Clinton McElroy.
August Clinton McElroy.
We call him Gus.
And it's been tough. Like, we're late on this recording. We're late on our bonus recording. We're late on a lot of things. We're a bit bedraggled.
Yeah.
I guess this is a good time to say we've been talking about doing, for the a little while at least, a different... All of this is to say, for a little while at least, and I know that the timing's not great here because Max Fun Drive is about to start, we're going to drop back to one topic each per episode, maybe spend a little bit more time exploring that topic, but keeping the episodes a little bit closer to a half hour, which was the original intent of the show. But
maybe we'll play some games.
Maybe, but
we'll do some impromptu songs.
Yes. And once this child starts to sleep and not be, he's so angry. He's so angry. Henry wasn't angry. He was just sickly.
Yeah. So Gus is, I mean, we should probably start off by saying Gus is opposite of Henry in a lot of ways.
Right.
As I mentioned, he was a very large baby.
Henry was 6 pounds, 9 ounces when he was born.
Yes.
Gus
was 9 pounds, 9 ounces.
So he, almost 50% more baby.
Yes.
If you think about it that way, a full 3 fucking pounds bigger.
And I will say that we had been warned, you know, I had various doctors telling me that he looked large.
10 pounds was what they were saying, which is unthinkable now.
Yeah. Yeah. Big head, big torso. And so when he was born, there are certain protocol for big babies.
Yeah.
One of which is making sure that the glucose level is appropriate, because a lot of times those babies are born and they can't regulate their blood sugar. They're so big.
Right.
And Gus did pretty well, but there's like a 36-hour test that he didn't pass, so we had to start doing formula, which was not anything we did early with Henry.
No.
And I'm going to say I'm grateful.
Yeah. It's such a touchy topic of conversation amongst new parents.
Yeah.
And it gets touchier the more research that those parents do into it of being breastfed versus being formula fed and the various benefits of both. And it's touchy for so many reasons because Rachel can speak to this obviously much better than I can, but it's a very intimate thing, and it's a very primordial thing, but it's also like not a thing everyone can do or wants to do, and there's pressures and all this stuff, and for like it was kind of awesome having a doctor just say like, you have to give this baby something in addition to breast milk because he's so big, and we're like, okay, whatever you say, and it's made things a bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that happens is if you decide, if you are somebody that can breastfeed and you decide to do that exclusively, you are taking full responsibility.
Yes,
the majority of the time. And that means that you are doing all the wake-ups, and anytime the baby cries, you are the first line of defense. And I did that with Henry for a long time, And it was very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
And I stuck with it because of the allergy, largely because that limited our formula options.
Yeah.
This time around, we are doing both. We're what's called like supplementing with formula. And welcome to the field, Griffin McElroy.
Hello, hello, everybody.
MVP.
Glad to be here. Yeah.
Has made this experience a lot better for me.
Yeah, I'm glad I could do that for you. Yeah. I like it. I enjoy it. It genuinely is. I don't want to be like, everything changes. But it is a powerful thing, feeding a baby, because you do get into that, like, deep in your genes, deep in your soul, like, I am nourishing life. and that's awesome. And mostly it's awesome that I'm able to not feel like a complete sack of shit all the time, because I'm able to actually contribute in a meaningful way, especially at nighttime.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
So I will say that there are some pros to this baby.
Yes.
One of which is that he is capable, although he chooses not to, but he is capable of sleeping more than 3 hours in one go.
Yeah,
which
he's done it a few times now.
Unparalleled for us.
So good. Yeah, it's not even, sleep isn't even the problem, I would say, this time. It is a different kind of exhaustion, because his fussiness doesn't manifest in, he doesn't sleep. It manifests in, again, the opposite of Henry. During the daytime, he cannot be put down.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm not as tired, I'm not as delirious as I was with Henry, but I am hurting. Like, my body is genuinely very sore from the weird angles that I have to put my body in to feed this newborn baby. It's like disarming a bomb, and like I'm contorting myself to make sure the bottle angle and his head angle and my body angle, and like it's a lot. That part, for whatever reason, is a lot harder. I don't want this whole episode to be like, babies can be different from each other, but it was...
We had hoped, and I had often told people when they asked me, would you have a second? I said, well, it has to be easier than the first.
Yeah.
I almost need a guarantee that this second will be easier, because I feel so weary from that experience still to this day. And... while there are parts that are easier, it is still very, very hard.
It's still tough.
Yeah, I guess this first month or so has been fast in some ways, mm-hmm. but also every day is just getting through it.
It's a battle. You are battling for every minute of sleep that the baby gets. And it turns into like spellcraft at a certain point, where it's like, okay, if we do the nasal drops 10 minutes before, and then we do half of a bottle of breast milk, mm-hmm. a 3-ounce bottle, we do half of that, and then we can put him in his swaddle.
And the white noise, and the fan, and the humidifier.
It needs to be exactly 73 degrees. It's like we're filling like a shitty rock star's rider every nap time, of which we attempt a few a day.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it's possible to regulate a baby this young.
No.
But it is just every instinct that we have.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's tough to backpedal from a 4-year-old who I can say, what do you want to eat today? And he will say, 4 chicken nuggets. And I will say, ketchup? He will say, not today. And I will say, okay. And I'll make the 4 chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I understand. Like, Griffin and I have talked about, like, what if they had been closer in age? And part of that seems terrible, because at least with Henry, he can entertain himself.
Dude just started wiping his own butt, and it's like, my man. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, he can use the bathroom by himself, and that is
so choice.
A wonderful thing.
Now, is he the best butt wiper?
No.
No?
No. I would argue there are adult men that are not particularly good butt wipers.
True.
it does mean that we have had a lot more distance between infancy and now. And so we remembered some stuff, didn't remember
Forgot other stuff, yeah.
But everybody says it gets better. We know that it does.
We know it does. Yeah, it almost has to. I don't know. Unless the anger he has now manifests into something more sinister.
Yeah. to be honest. So when we say angry, we mean that if he gets too sleepy or too hungry, he will refuse to do either, even though that is very much what he wants.
Yeah.
So we will, if we wait too long to feed him, or if he goes too long without napping, he would rather scream and cry than actually address his needs.
And he did sort of headbutt me in the bridge of my nose like a shitty soccer fan or something like that, in a way that was pretty painful during one of these freakouts. And part of you wants to just be like, he's a baby, he doesn't know what he's doing. But part of me wants to be like, hey buddy, fucking watch it. You can't do that to me. I'm your dad.
I will say with Henry, Henry didn't seem to have much of a temper. So if he was
so weak. Holy shit.
He was very weak.
He could never, this is him trying to headbutt me. Nothing.
He couldn't support his own head until he was 6 months. Yeah. And so the aggression was always very mild.
Mm-hmm. More passive aggressive. Just he gave you a lot of looks like, really? Oh, come on. Gus will scratch.
So Gus is a tank, which makes everything hard, but will hopefully give us an easier time in the long run.
The cheeks game, though.
Oh, he's got... His head is large, and so his cheeks alone could be the head of a small baby.
His head is perfectly spherical. He looks like Mr. Fucking Baseball. It's insane, this kid's head. It's amazing.
Our pediatrician, I think, obviously, this is our second kid, and our first kid had a large head. And so when he told us, this one, 99th percentile, and we were like, yep.
Yeah, sure.
He said that we would be surprised.
Only his belly is also 99th percentile, and so what you get, and his arms and legs are pretty small. And so what you get is a sort of weird snowman with vestigial limbs.
Just love him so much.
Love him a lot. Okay, let's steal you away, and we'll complain some more. (10) 9876543211. Blast off into wealth and financial security and responsibility. With Rocket Money.
Oh, that's the countdown.
The countdown is for the rocket. Uh-huh. They have to do that because if not, people stand under the rocket of Rocket Money. They get all burnt up dead.
Yeah.
So powerful is the force of this fuel as it's oxidized and ejected. But for you, some people get burnt up by the rocket, but you're going to save a buttload of money on things like subscriptions you don't need anymore that maybe you didn't know you had anymore that Rocket Money can not only identify for you, but also help you get them canceled.
I also get these little notifications that are like, hey, did you know that you spent this much money on this very particular online store? And I'm like, whoa, I am spending too much money in that online store. I would not have noticed it otherwise.
Rachel's candle habit was putting us out of house and home.
Do you know you're spending $750 a month on candles?
Well, not no more, because Rocket Money showed you the error of your ways. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. That is wild. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful.
Mr. Robotman, what are you doing?
I'm just taking one last look. My co-workers.
Every journey comes to an end.
Remember, Plek, the space will be with you always.
Sorry, who are you again?
Master Kieran.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Just calling in.
Friendships will be tested.
Dar, you have to do it. You have to shoot Plek.
Okay.
You shot him so fast.
Destinies will be fulfilled.
I've become a complete bird. I'm flying.
On April 28th, the saga starts concluding.
Guys, we don't have a choice. We have to put on a show.
We can do it in the old barn. We've got the costumes. We've got a stage. We can do it, you guys.
Mission to Zix, the final season on Maximum Fun.
I don't know how much you want to actually talk about birth experience.
Yeah, I did actually want to a little bit because I had what is probably common for a lot of people, which is where the first child has to be delivered via C-section due to some complications. Ours weren't serious, thankfully.
My man had the cord wrapped around himself four times.
Yeah, but it wasn't an emergency. It wasn't like
it was a pseudo emergency. It wasn't was some like sweat happening in that room.
Yeah, but he wasn't
in danger.
He didn't go to the NICU. Came out fine.
Yeah,
he just couldn't get out on his own. So the second baby, I had pretty much planned on, and then especially when I found out how large he was, was having a scheduled C-section, which I didn't know anything about, and nobody really ever told me.
Yeah, you hear it, and it's not a joke. For your second baby, you are not quite as pampered by any medical professionals along the way, where it's just like, you know the fucking drill. You come to the hospital, a human comes out, you give them milk, and we kick you the fuck out in 3 days.
Or two.
Or two, as was the case with you, because you're a rock star.
And they, I guess they figured since I had one before, but the first time I had been in labor for a very long time, I was somewhat frightened and didn't really know what was happening.
Yeah.
And so when they were like, we're going to do it again, I was like, okay, and what is that? And they were like, you show up and we'll take care of the rest.
But in their defense, that is more or less what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought for sure I was going to have this baby early. Henry was early. This one was very big. I thought there's no way I'm making it to 39 weeks and 4 days. But turns out that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And we showed up that morning and they put us in a room with what seemed like six other couples.
Yeah. It was a hot day for creating babies.
It was like a reality show almost, in that we could hear the other couples getting ready for their birth experience right next to us.
Seeing a lot of dudes like coming in their gowns and hairnets, just like sitting down and like staring bullets at the floor. And I wanted to just like walk up and be like, first time, huh? There's a part of me that like was riding a little bit high there, like, you don't know this tango, huh?
Yeah. And so very little privacy, very little sense of kind of what the timeline is going to be and what they tell you. So this was maybe the worst part for me, because what they tell you is you're going to go under anesthesia, or not anesthesia, but, you know, you're going to have the epidural and we're going to put all sorts of stuff in your body. So we don't want you to eat or drink after midnight because we don't want to operate on a gremlin.
Right.
And so I was very dehydrated and they had to put an IV in, and it took five times, maybe.
It was one of the worst things I think I've seen. It was, and we came away from this thinking like, this is kind of a badass thing to say and have it be the truth, but putting the IV in was the worst part of the whole thing.
And this
experience
is probably very relatable for a lot of people, because a lot of people have this issue of techs trying to find veins and having trouble. This is not something that usually happens to me, because the inside of my elbow, A+, 100%.
Good stuff there.
Good stuff
there.
Oh,
we love it.
Didn't realize.
Chunky veins and big.
Because you're going to be holding a baby, they want to use your hands or the tops of your arms.
Generous vascularity.
And I've got nothing good in the tops of my hands when I'm that dehydrated.
Well, it's because you're a classically trained flautist and your hands are...
I will say, when I'm hydrated, a lot of good veins.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But that was not the case. And so...
But you're almost never hydrated.
So Griffin had to fan me so I didn't pass out as they spent what felt like an hour on this part of the process.
Yeah. It
they brought in three different nurses.
It took about as long to put the IV in as it did to take the child out.
Yes.
Which is truly staggering.
And then they have you, once you're all hooked up, they have you walk down to the room, which felt like a little, I don't know, I wanted like a little parade or something.
Yeah. But to carry you on a palanquin.
But so, yeah, so you walk in the room and I had known from my previous experience that I was going to get very cold. And so they put a lot of warm towels on me. And then talked a lot about the price of a towel warmer, which I really enjoyed. Do you remember me telling you about this?
Yeah, there was a lot of conversations happening amongst the medical staff that was pretty delightful to us.
The anesthesiologist talked about how you could get a towel warmer for not that much. And they were like, oh, how much? And they said $200. And everyone was like, whoa, fancy.
I mean, that is a lot of money to spend on a towel warmer.
I know, the way he kind of like flippantly like brushed it off, like, it's not that much. Everybody else was like, oh, la-di-da.
I have a towel warmer. It's called the microwave. Thank you very much. Also, a lot of talk of a Costa Rica trip.
Yeah, so the other thing was that the reason I was 39 weeks and 4 days was because my OB was just getting back from a trip with her family, which we found out during the procedure was to Costa Rica. Because again, her and the other guy that was assisting talked a lot about ziplining.
It is. I will speak from my perspective because I imagine it's even way more visceral for you. During this process, since the second time we've done this, your head and the rest of and my whole body is on one side of a sheet. And I am talking to your head, trying to keep you occupied and
Griffin takes this
calm,
very seriously.
I do. It's a fucking insane thing to be happening because on the other side of that sheet, it is
they're digging in.
Horrifying, yeah. Right? It is. It's objectively pretty wild. And so it's wild to be like looking in your eyes like, you're doing such a good job, baby. I love you. Deep breath. We're going to hear him. Our son's about to be here. And then on the other side of the sheet where, you know, the terrible stuff is happening, the doctors are just like, yeah, so I went ziplining. Tell me about that. Oh, it was so fun. Anybody else here ever been ziplining? It's really, really wild. Good for them, I guess. I'm sure they did it safely. Ziplining and traveling in the time of pandemic, but just a wild thing to be like, you guys are having a completely different day from the day we're having.
I will say that I felt a lot calmer this time because I hadn't been laboring. Mm-hmm. I wasn't scared about Gus. He was totally chill. And I was more prepared for the experience. So I was talking to Griffin, and I found it very romantic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You did try to French me like a lot, like a bunch.
I felt very in love with you. I enjoyed, our conversation. I remember specifically you telling me how wet my eyes looked.
Oh, yeah, they did. They looked really wet. They were super, super, super shiny. You have beautiful eyes. I love your eyes. I would say they are almost always radiant. But they were like
just the wettest they've ever been.
They were gushing. It was wild. Yeah, it was last time with Henry, they popped him out and cleaned him off and gave him to me, and then I had to leave.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know why either, because I got to like kick it in there with you.
I guess because I had been laboring for so long. I don't know if there's something about like just coming in, just, you know, fresh off a night of sleep, right, where they like don't worry about you as much. But yeah, Griffin got to hang out in the room as they like put me back together.
Right as they were pulling the baby out, they offered, and I think they may have offered this with Henry too, like, do you want to look over the sheet? And it's like it's the incredulous, I was wearing a mask, obviously, and like the incredulousness in my eyes alone, I think, was enough to like answer non-verbally.
Yeah.
Why would I want that?
But we heard, and I don't know if you remember this happening, but as soon as he came out, everyone's like, whoa, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And then they all started guessing how much he was going to weigh.
Yeah.
And they were like, 9'2". No, I think it's going to be 9'7". And
9'9".
9'9".
Dummy thick child. our dummy thick child is also waking up. We've had to stop already, I think, twice this episode just to go check on him. Yeah, that's how things are going to be, I think, for a little bit.
We know you didn't ask for this.
We know. It's, I promise.
You as the listener, you as the Max Fund donor, you didn't say, please have another child so I can have frantic short episodes. But you know, we're in love, and we thought we wanted to manifest our love in the form of another boy.
Right.
And here he is.
Yeah.
Just angrier than Griffin and I could ever be.
It immediately, like literally the day he was born, started to sink in that I can say things like, oh, my sons, these sons of mine are really, I gotta get back to the old kids. with an S. And that's true now. It makes me think of the Clickhole article of which one of my terrible sons are you? And I feel like that kicked off a lot of just talking about sons in the abstract as like a funny thing. Oh, me? I have not one son, but multiple sons. But
have you started flexing this with Justin and Travis now? Because I know they love to be like, oh, all these kids that I have.
Yeah. No, I haven't because it's, I mean, it's not that fucking hard. like it's exhausting. It's not that fucking hard. Like, come on. So yeah, we'll have an episode for you next week where we will talk about not our kids, but probably still will. I mean, it will be impossible not to. But we'll talk about normal stuff, too. And we're also going to talk about the Max Fun Drive, our annual pledge drive. And we'll tell you all about the great gifts that we have for new members.
Yeah, and the bonus content.
And everything. And we hope you'll stick with us as we sort of probably, I don't know, hopefully just for a month or so, do slightly shorter episodes. But
Do you want to thank?
Thanks to Bowen and Augustus. I think Augustus goes by Gus in Caracara Bonito. I know. I should do a bit on Caracara. How have I not done a Caracara Bonito thing? Anyway, for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay, you can find a link to that in the episode description. And thanks for listening. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. We're going to extol their virtues quite a bit over the next couple weeks or so, I imagine.
Yeah. And thank you, everybody, for, you know, just hanging in there with us. And we're going to do our best to, you know, keep pumping out the jam.
Huge thanks to the positive response we got to the hockey episode, which I think we both thought was going to be our most reviled episode to date. But there's a bunch of hockey nuts.
Bunch of real hockey heads.
Hockey heads is what they call
it. We recorded that back when the Blues were doing much better.
Uh-huh.
They're on the uptick again.
They're on the uptick again, but they did go in the toilet for a little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of going into the toilet, I don't really have a transition there, but I would.
Hey,
like,
this was an episode.
This was an episode. They can't say that it wasn't. It had a beginning. It had ads. It had the end, which is this.
Mm-hmm. Any small wonders here at the back half? You want to talk about those nasal drops?
I mean, saline drops for the nose is pretty good. The baby fucking hates them, but it's good for the baby.
The shusher.
Shusher. I think people are getting a little taste of the shusher maybe in the background. Depends on how much great noise canceling our editor, Rachel, is able to do. We'll see about
that. This baby seems to have brown hair, which is exciting for me.
Wild stuff. Yeah.
Exciting for me. Henry was always very blonde. This one seems to be a little brown, which is fun for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so tired.
Yeah. Yeah, and hats off to the new season of The Circle.
Oh, God, it's so choice. It's so good. I can't believe how good it is. All right, now it's an episode.
Now it's an episode.
Put a lid on it. Money won't pay.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Max Fun Drive's almost here. It starts on Monday, May 3rd, ends on May 14th, and it's the best time to support the shows you love. Here are some folks like you sharing what Max Fun and our shows mean to them.
Most importantly, it's meant community.
And just thanks for hanging out, making joke 'em ups, and making my week a little bit brighter.
So, thanks, Maximum Fun, for making me a better person and making sure that I'm surrounded by better people.
Thanks again for all you do. Love supporting Max Fun, and keep it up.
Come back Monday, May 3rd for more details from your favorite hosts. We'll have some of the best episodes of the year, special Max Fun Drive thank you gifts, and maybe a few surprises. That's Monday, May 3rd. Until then,